You're comfortable?
I'm great.
All right. You can probably get a little bit closer to that mic.
Sure. Okay.
So thanks for coming in.
Sure.
Do you want to introduce yourself first, your name and where you're from?
Sure. My name is Chelsea Nesvig, and I live in Seattle on Capitol Hill.
Okay. So, Chelsea, what's your question?
My question is, why and how do all of the construction cranes around downtown Seattle get decorated for the holidays every year?
Okay, and why are you wondering that? What prompted you to ask that question?
I guess I see these cranes every year, and of course there's been more and more of them as Seattle has been growing over the past decade, and I look up at those cranes and they're beautiful and pretty, but like that's very high. How do they get those lights all the way out to the end of that very tall and very long construction crane? And why do construction companies want to invest what might be a decent amount of money to make that happen when it's just something that goes up for construction and then hopefully comes back down?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm curious about the answer as well. But I just want to tell you that I will not be doing this story because I don't like heights. And I have this idea that this story will involve going up in a crane. So we're going to send out our intrepid producer, Matt Martin, who doesn't mind heights, and he's going to do the story. Is that cool?
Sounds great.
From KUOW in Seattle, this is Sound Cues, a podcast fueled by listener curiosity. I'm your host, Deborah Wong. Stay with us as we answer Chelsea's question and find out who puts the lights up on construction cranes and how they do it.
Amazon promises a world of convenience.
But that convenience is changing our lives in ways we might not expect. I'm Carolyn Adolph.
And I'm Joshua McNichols. Amazon's changing parenting.
My youngest child's first full sentence was directed at my Echo Dot.
Senior care.
This thing really had saved my life.
Our homes and our health.
It's all in Season 3 of Primed. Find it at KUOW.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're not afraid of heights, right?
No.
It's 6:30 a.m. on a Saturday, and it's a good thing that I'm not scared of heights, because today I'm headed up to the top of a construction crane. The sun's not even up yet. Bruce Tamlin is waiting for his work crew to show up. They all work for Garner Construction. Everyone calls Bruce Tam. He got that nickname when he was a member of a special forces unit for the New Zealand military.
Last name's Tamlin, so they just call me Tam.
I meet up with him at the construction site of Totem Lakes Village. It's a new apartment complex with 600-plus units, retail, and a movie theater. But right now, it's just a muddy field with a rebar and concrete foundation starting to emerge. The construction site sits right off 405 in Kirkland. Three cranes shoot up from the mud. Tam gathers his crew to explain what we're all going to be doing today.
Your spools are going to come at 150-foot lengths, right? They're going to have a power end on one end and a dead end. On here will be a cap like this.
The task is to hoist these heavy spools of lights to the top of each of the three cranes. Red, green, and white lights. Tam and I are assigned to the tallest of the three cranes, but I can't help but feel a little unprepared.
You got gloves? You don't have gloves?
No, I don't have gloves.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Unbelievable. I should have brought some. I didn't think about it.
I thought he might offer me a pair. He doesn't. We start our way up the tower.
How many steps to the top?
180 feet.
180 feet.
Yeah.
All right.
15-foot sections.
Okay.
The metal rungs of the ladder are painfully cold on my naked hands. I really wish I had brought some gloves. But Tam, he's doing just fine. He's climbing the ladder one-handed, a holiday Starbucks cup in the other. We get up to the top of the crane and step into the control booth. It's about the size of an average office cubicle. The floor is glass at the operator's feet so he can see the load below. Tam has made this place his home. Food, drinks, music. But Tam has even bigger plans. He shows me a new special shelf he's been building for a new toy he wants to install.
24-inch ultra-high definition TV. Samsung. Right here. See the shelf I just made right here? That's for a Wi-Fi Blu-ray Samsung DVD player.
With the tour over, the work can now begin.
So we're doing crane one and crane three a favor, right?
Tam picks up the load of lights with his crane.
So I'm going to fly them up for them instead of them pulling them up, right?
Tam is sitting in a chair. He has a joystick in each hand, With just the slightest flick of his fingers, he swings the arm of the crane around and drops two spools of lights on the top of the other two cranes. Tam and I won't be so lucky. We don't have the advantage of a tall crane lifting our bundle of lights. We have to pull our lights up by hand, all 180 feet. Tam hands me a rope. It's draped over the handrail of the crane's platform. It's tied to a spool of lights on the ground. He tells me to start pulling.
You wanted to know how the lights get up on the crane, huh?
I'm learning.
I pull at the rope and it won't budge. This is hard.
You can do it. Dig deep. Come on.
I have to use my entire body with every heave of the rope. Tam starts yelling his old military training slogan at me.
Come on, man. Keep going. Keep going. What'd I tell you? The mind controls the body. Body's saying, I can't do it. My arms are tired. Your arms are tired. You say, no, it's not. Don't let the body.
Mind controls the body.
Yep. Don't let the body control the mind.
The mind controls the body.
Yep. Beat the pain. You can beat the pain. Just be a pilgrim.
I'm a pilgrim.
Always go a little farther.
Hand over hand. Hand over hand. I have to be close to the top, right?
No, 90 feet to go.
90 feet? All right.
Nah. Hang on. 1, 2, 3. 135, sorry.
135.
Yeah, so you only pulled it like 60 feet. Don't let it beat you.
I was not about to let it beat me.
Dig deep. It's right there. Couple more feet. One more. There it is. It's a hit.
It's finally over. The lights are at the top, and I'm exhausted.
This is good. I don't have to go to the gym now.
I asked Tam how this tradition of holiday lights on a crane got started.
Ghana pretty much started it, and then it's just snowballed. Other contractors have got into it.
Tam says the lights weren't anything fancy back in the early days.
And that was the old C9 strand lights that you put on your house, and we would run them out. And that way you could change the colors with the bulbs, but they're the glass bulbs, right? So, and just do it at lunchtime. And the contractor didn't mind, right? Because at the end of the day, when it's done and they come back and they look up and they're like, wow.
Gone are the days of glass bulbs. Now they use tube LED lights. And the holiday lights on these cranes have become kind of a competition between the different contractors.
Some superintendents that have been on different, work for different companies, they have competitions with that company. You know, they've left it and moved on. They want to better them. So then they spend more money on lights, right?
So it's just like the family Christmas lights in the neighborhood. Got to do better than your neighbor.
Yep, exactly.
Garner Construction says they spend several thousand dollars on these holiday lights each year. The next steps to get the lights on the crane are to splice the two spools of lights together. Then the lights need to be stretched out the entire length of the arm of the crane, known as the jib. That job belongs to Chris Fonseca. He's got a big pointy beard and multiple piercings. He doesn't really share Tam's love for Christmas lights. His house will be dark this year.
All my kids are grown anyway, so I'm good.
This is good. You don't need it.
Yeah, I don't need any more. Anybody wants to see them, we'll just come out and look at the cranes.
Chris throws the strand of lights over his shoulder and starts walking out onto the jib.
So I'm going to take the splice where we spliced it at, and I'm going to walk on the jib all the way out to the end.
Chris secures the lights at the very end of the arm. Then he starts making his way back towards the control booth, zip-tying the lights to the side of the jib on his way. He's careful to make sure the lights are straight and secure. I mean, it's a competition, after all, with the other cranes, so it's gotta look good. Chris walks up to me and asks if I want to join him out on the arm, and I say, yes. Yes, I do. Then he fits me with a harness.
All right, so I've got my harness on now. Is there anything I need to know before I go out there?
No. Just always stay tied off.
I climb over the railing. I watch as my boots shuffle along a 3-inch metal beam with nothing below me for 180 feet. But I'm not really scared. I can see all the other workers on the ground. They look so small, like little toys or something. Somehow it makes it less scary.
Think you'd be walking a jib?
I did not think I'd be walking out here today. I'm not sure my boss knew I'd be walking out here either, but that's okay.
It's a beautiful day. The sun is out. We can see Mount Rainier. Great day to be out on a crane. Tam really seems to love putting up these lights. It's why he's been doing it for over a decade now.
No one can make you do it, right? You do it for the love of the season.
And he truly believes these lights can affect people in a positive way. He points to a hospital that is across the street from the construction site. He knows people will be looking out those windows at his crane.
You know, people are going to be in hospital, But it's Christmas, right? So it's that holiday feeling. It's pretty hard to get that feeling when you're not in your own home and you're in a hospital.
Tam is very proud that his lights on his crane might provide a little bit of that holiday feeling.
So Matt Martin is back from the crane, back safely off of that incredible height.
I survived.
Hey, Matt. Yes. And Chelsea Nesvig is here, and it's your question that inspired this story. Chelsea, did Matt answer your question?
He certainly did.
What'd you think?
I didn't know he was going to put his life on the line to do it.
All in the name of journalism.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds terrifying, but it's fascinating to hear how it happens.
What was it like being up there? Was it you weren't scared at all?
There was one thing that was like nagging in my mind the whole time I was up there. One of the other construction workers before I went up, what he told me was, he said, you know, if you do fall off, he's like, just be prepared to hang there for about 20 or 25 minutes before the fire department shows up, because they're the only people with a ladder tall enough to get you back down.
That makes me feel a little sick, actually. And so you tweeted out some photographs. We'll put a link to them up on our website, where you're actually looking down from this, what, 3-inch wide beam that you're standing on?
Yeah, that's about right.
And so what are you holding on to at that point?
You're holding on to this bar, and then there's a steel cable that runs in maybe about 20-foot sections, and you're clipped. You have two clips onto those. And then when you come to the end of the 20-foot section, you remove one clip and clip it onto the next section of 20-foot cable, and then move the second clip over. So you're always clipped in to something all the time when you're walking around up there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's very good.
Definitely.
Well, Matt, thanks for going up into that crane so I didn't have to.
You're welcome, Deb.
And Chelsea, thanks for your question.
Absolutely.
If you have a question about Seattle or our region, head on over to our website, kuow.org/soundcues, and drop us a note. Your question might be featured in a future episode. And while you're there, check out the photos and the video Matt took of the holiday lights being put out on the cranes. Sound Cues is a production of KUOW in Seattle. Matt Martin is our producer. Jim Gates edited this story. Our production team includes Anna Boyko-Wyrock, David Hyde, Gil Agutter, Jill Jackson, and Brendan Sweeney. Michael Parker composed our theme music. I'm your host, Deborah Wong. Thanks for listening.